Chapter 10. Stephen, the First Martyr for Christ. This chapter is based on Acts 6, verse 5 to 15. 7. Stephen, foremost of the seven deacons, spoke the Greek language and was familiar with the customs of the Greeks. He therefore found opportunity to preach the gospel in the synagogues of the Greek Jews and boldly proclaimed his faith. Learned rabbis and doctors of the law engaged him in public discussion, but they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He utterly defeated his opponents. To him was the promise fulfilled, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Luke 21, verse 15. The priests and rulers were filled with bitter hatred. They determined to silence his voice. On several occasions, they had bribed the Roman authorities to pass over instances where the Jews had tried, condemned, and executed prisoners. The enemies of Stephen did not doubt that they could again pursue such a course. Therefore, they brought him before the Sanhedrin Council for trial. Learned Jews were summoned for the purpose of refuting the arguments of the prisoner. Saul of Tarsus was present and brought eloquence and logic to bear on the case to convince the people that Stephen was preaching dangerous doctrines. But in Stephen, he met one who had a full understanding of the purpose of God in spreading the gospel to other nations. The priests and rulers determined to make an example of Stephen. While satisfying their revengeful hatred, they would prevent others from adopting his belief. Witnesses were hired to bear false testimony. "We have heard him say," they declared, "that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." A holy radiance shines on Stephen's face. As Stephen stood to answer the charges, all that sat in the council saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Many trembled and veiled their faces, but the stubborn unbelief and prejudice of the rulers did not waver. Stephen began his defense in a clear, thrilling voice which rang through the council hall. In words that held the assembly spellbound, he rehearsed the history of the chosen people. He showed a thorough knowledge of the Jewish economy and the spiritual interpretation of it now made manifest through Christ. He made plain his loyalty to God and to the Jewish faith, while he connected Jesus Christ with all the Jewish history. When Stephen connected Christ with the prophecies, the priest, pretending to be horror-stricken, rent his robe. To Stephen, this was a signal that he was giving his last testimony. He abruptly concluded his sermon. Turning on his infuriated judges, he cried, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it?" Priests and rulers were beside themselves with anger. In their cruel faces, the prisoner read his fate, but he did not waver. For him, the fear of death was gone. The scene before him faded from his vision. To him, the gates of heaven were ajar, and, looking in, he saw Christ, as if just risen from his throne, standing ready to sustain his servant. Stephen exclaimed, "I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." As he described the glorious scene, it was more than his persecutors could endure. Stopping their ears, they ran furiously on him with one accord and cast him out of the city. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. RSV. the Roman authorities were bribed by large sums of money to make no investigation. Stephen's martyrdom makes a deep impression. The memory of Stephen's face and his words, which touched the souls of those who heard them, remained in the minds of the beholders and testified to the truth of that which he had proclaimed. His death was a sore trial to the church, but it resulted in the conviction of Saul, who could not efface from his memory the glory that had rested on the martyr's countenance. Saul was angered by his secret conviction that Stephen had been honored by God when dishonored by men. He continued to persecute the followers of Christ, seizing them in their houses and delivering them to the priests and rulers for imprisonment and death. His zeal brought terror to the Christians at Jerusalem. The Roman authorities secretly aided the Jews in order to conciliate them and secure their favor. After the death of Stephen, Saul was elected a member of the Sanhedrin Council, in consideration of the part he had acted. He was a mighty instrument in the hands of Satan to carry out his rebellion against the Son of God. But a mightier than Satan had chosen Saul to take the place of the martyred Stephen, to spread far and wide the tidings of salvation through his blood.